The Clean Power Hour is brought to you by CPS America, the maker of North America's number one three-phase string inverter, with over 6 gigawatts shipped in the U.S. The CPS America product lineup includes three-phase string inverters ranging from 25 to 275 kW. Their flagship inverter, the CPS250-275, is designed to work with solar plants ranging from 2 megawatts to 2 gigawatts. The 250-275 pairs well with CPS America's exceptional data communication, controls, and energy storage solutions. Go to chintpowersystems.com to find out more. Today on the Clean Power Hour, Solar Asset Management North America. My guest today is Alfonso Barnechea. Welcome to the show, Alfonso. It's good to see you again.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's great being here. I think we had discussed this for a couple of weeks now, a month even maybe. So it's nice to finally, you know, have it happening.
You know, when I got involved with SAMNA North America, that's the Solar Asset Management North America conference in Oakland this past April, it was like a veil was unlifted for me. I come from the construction side of the business, construction and project development. And so asset management is a world that, yeah, I know about O&M and I know some O&M providers, but it's really a whole universe. And of course, there's many finance companies and IPPs. These are large utility companies that own solar, wind, and battery storage assets that have an increasing role to play in the global energy economy. We have installed over a terawatt of solar in the world now, and we're going to increase that by a factor of 10 in the next 30 years. So asset management and operations and maintenance are extremely important parts of the industry. Give our listeners a little background on yourself, Alfonso. We're going to give a preview of your conference coming up in Texas. So you're doing two conferences now in the U.S., but give our listeners some background on yourself. How did you get interested in energy?
Of course, yeah. So as you mentioned already, my name is Alfonso Barnechea. I'm a project manager here at Solar Plaza. And I guess a bit on myself first. I'm originally from Mexico. I'm based in the Netherlands now. And yeah, I mean, I've always been interested in sustainability. I'm from the north of Mexico. It's historically an industrial land. So you definitely get to see how, you know, heavy industry and construction, you know, like large scale moving cement and concrete can affect the environment. So it was always like something that I was interested in, you know, like how to reduce pollution or what are like more efficient ways of producing energy. And I ended up studying, you know, I went to university in Germany, environmental sciences, and I was always interested in renewables. But, you know, as a fresh graduate, if you Google, you know, solar jobs, there's a million options. You know, I think you already alluded to it a bit. You come from the solar construction side, but asset management in solar is a completely new world. How do you connect these? So that's kind of how I discovered Solar Plaza. So a bit of what Solar Plaza is. We organize conferences and produce content for solar energy, for renewables, but solar in particular, all around the world. You know, the company was founded, I believe, in 2004. We're around 30 people from different countries, you know, over 10 nationalities in our team. It's pretty fun. We get to travel around the world discussing different topics of solar. In more mature markets, we discuss the asset management conferences. In newer markets, we discuss more, you know, developer-focused or subsidy or incentive-focused topics, you know. We have conferences in Eastern Africa, Western Africa, Latin America, the Nordics, etc. Yeah, the reason I joined Solar Plaza was because this was a chance for me to, well, first organize conferences, but more importantly, really like learn about solar. You know, a big part of my job, and you kind of saw it already in the conference, is that I get to speak with these different solar professionals. I hear their thoughts, their thoughts on trends, on challenges, on how the market is in general. So yeah, for me, one of my favorite parts of being here really is just learning about solar. You know, I get to get paid to call someone, understand their problems, and try to find a solution. That to me seemed like a pretty good deal.
Very good. So what is going on Texas first? Texas is a very interesting market. It has now eclipsed California as the largest new construction solar market in the United States, which is a big deal. California has been the big dog for a long time. It is by far the most mature market in the U.S. for renewables, but now Texas is coming on very strong. And Texas is famous because of the outage that happened in February of 2021, But tell us a little bit about, you know, how you guys see North America. I have noticed, and John Weaver and I, my co-host here at the Clean Power Hour, talk about one of the trends that we see, and that is that European companies are coming to the U.S. This is European developers and IPPs. And of course, Europe is a great market, but the U.S. is not only a great market, but a very large and fast growing market. But from where you sit, how do you see the U.S. and why Texas?
Yeah, no, great question. First, quick shout out to John. I'm a huge fan of his articles. I try to read them every time I have time. But yeah, I guess to explain a bit of our rationale with Texas, it makes sense to look at our Asset Management North America conference first, right? So in this conference, we try to focus on the operational phase of solar and, you know, what are the challenges and trends? You know, we try to address them from the technical side of operations, so classic O&M, when to clean panels, when not to, you know, how to optimize your operations. And then also from the asset management side, so a bit more commercial and financial, you know, dealing with insurance, understanding when to refinance, when not to, you know, when does repowering make sense, et cetera. And we tried to address that one in our California conference. We've done nine editions now. This was the ninth one, I believe. And we always stay in California for the reasons you mentioned, right? It's the largest market in the U.S., very mature, a lot of assets, quite sunny, which is always nice if you're traveling from the Netherlands, where we're all based. And we realized that, the U.S. market being the size it is, it made sense to start differentiating, you know, regions that have more specific problems, right? Because one of the challenges when you make a conference to address the whole U.S., of course, I think there's trends like supply chain, tax incentives that you can address. You know, it's another typical one, I think, and it's one that you're quite familiar with is, you know, how the diligence in the construction phase leads to an easier or a harder time in the operational phase. You know, so basically, the better documented a plant is, the easier it'll be to fix over the 25-year lifetime. But then there's a lot of challenges that are also quite unique, you know, and they start from development all the way to operations. And Texas is in this unique position for a couple of reasons, right? It's a huge land mass itself. It's crazy to think about that. Texas is the size of Germany. You know, Texas is one out of 50 states, and Germany is one of the larger countries in Europe. So just from the size and the amount of sun perspective, it made sense for us to explore Texas. But now to go into a bit more detail, you know, on our rationale for Texas, it's really just a very interesting market. You know, historically, Texas is an energy state. You know, I think it's very interesting to see Texas transition from fossil fuels, you know, starting with oil, then into gas. And then they had this very interesting like wind boom. And now you're seeing a lot of it with solar and with storage as well, or a combination of all these three. And yeah, I mean, Texas just having its own like grid code and grid conditions. It happens that sometimes you have these mishaps, like the freeze they had last year, I believe. But it also brings a lot of opportunities. You know, the Texan market is a lot more, I guess it's Texan focused. You can be way more creative with the way you finance, the way you develop, the way you operate. So this just creates a very interesting incentive for solar companies to operate. And it's funny actually that you mentioned that, you know, you see European developers and IPPs moving to the US. Absolutely. And I think Texas is one of those reasons. I mean, as I mentioned, us being a Dutch company, we work with a lot of European companies, and there is a lot of interest in Texas. So for us, it was a mix of, you know, the market dynamics, the uniqueness of the market, and the topics we can address. You know, if we take Texas by itself, the east of Texas and the west of Texas, the way you have to operate your plants is quite different just because the weather patterns are different. The amount of, you know, soiling and dust particles you're going to get is different. The amount of rain you're going to get is different. You know, I could list many more features, but the fact that it's such a unique and large market and it's a single state in a single, you know, like grid ecosystem, it made sense for us to try to explore it as a new conference. Of course, in our North America conference, addressing the U.S. as a whole, we'll always stay in California. You know, that's our flagship event. We love going to the U.S. We love going to California. But we're trying to branch out and explore some more of these, you know, emerging markets that have their unique problems, which would be kind of unfair to fully address in a conference that addresses the whole U.S. So we're trying to, you know, to branch out in segment. And we thought Texas was the perfect market to start.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Clean Power Hour or viewing it on YouTube. We do have a great YouTube channel. If you're not subscribed, please go to cleanpower.group and hit that YouTube icon and subscribe to our channel. Of course, you can find all of our content on your favorite audio platform as well. So please give us a rating and a review. Back to the show. So you can find more information about this upcoming event at solarplaza.com. The Texas event website isn't quite launched yet, but it will be when this drops, and we'll put a link, of course, in the show notes. And we will be offering our listeners a 10% discount on this event as well. You can use the discount code CPH22. It's a 10% discount on attending the conference. So check out solarplaza.com, and then we'll put the exact link to the landing page in the show notes. So, Alfonso, who should attend this SAMNA? So forgive me, but I'm going to call it a SAMNA event, but this Solar Plaza asset management event in Texas, who should attend?
Yeah, no, great question, Em. The event, similar to our other conference, is an operational-focused conference. So what that means is that a bulk of our topics will be addressing, you know, how to operate and manage your solar plant. So our immediate, you know, let's say, attendees that we always want to have there are O&M service providers and any sub-service provider that is part of that, you know, aerial inspection companies, monitoring companies, weather control companies, et cetera, as well as asset managers, you know, everyone who's active in the operational phase. IPPs, who are the owners of the assets, obviously they want to learn or to meet new people there. But what's very interesting about Texas and what we've noticed in our asset management conferences is kind of the evolution of this buzzword, asset management or operational phase. What we're really trying to narrow down in this conference is understanding how the development and the construction phase actually play a much bigger role than people expect in the operational phase. So that's to say, if you do one of the larger 200 megawatt utility scale plants in the US, if the construction phase or the EPC phase is done, you know, cutting corners or, you know, maybe not documented the way it should be, it's actually the asset managers or the O&M service providers that over the next 25 years will be the ones paying the price. So with that being said and those topics being addressed, we're trying to kind of extend the stakeholders that we want to have at our event. So it also really applies for anyone who's in the development stage, on the EPC stage, on the financing stage. So what we're trying to do is create a conference focused on the operational phase, but understanding that every stakeholder, either before the operational phase or after, still plays a pretty relevant role, you know. So you can imagine off-takers now moving to Texas, many from California, looking for more, you know, like larger lands, bigger energy needs. They will need to understand how they can source their energy from solar. That's a topic we want to address, you know. Developers interested in moving to Texas for storage reasons, they should be interested in our storage topics in the conference. So again, it's an operational conference, but we're trying to expand the stakeholders from development, from pre-development, really, from financing all the way to the operational phase and even decommissioning. You know, we really try to take into account the full sustainable side of solar. I mean, solar being a green energy, of course, it has that tag of sustainable or green. But a big conversation that needs to happen as well is, you know, what do you do with the plants when they're approaching the end of the life cycle? And especially in markets like Texas, where you can expect plants to be way bigger than the national average, that will lead to a lot of potential waste. And it's important to understand how to mitigate this in the long run.
Yeah, you know, I have a colleague, Emily O'Leary, shout out to Emily, who has started a company dedicated to working with construction companies during the construction phase to recycle the broken modules. You know, when you're dealing with hundreds of thousands or millions of solar modules in a construction project, there's going to be breakage, and you got to do something with those potentially thousands of solar panels. And of course, end of life is also on everybody's mind. We're going to have millions and millions of solar panels that need to be repurposed if they can be, or recycled. And so that's a growing part of the ecosystem, and I look forward to seeing that mature. And, you know, and to my listeners who are thinking about this topic, the critical thing for us to think about is full life cycle and zero waste manufacturing, you know, really making products to be more recyclable from the get-go. So, Alfonso, let's talk a little bit about your flagship event, SAMNA, in Oakland, which was in April of 22. I don't know if you've picked a date yet for the 2023 conference, but that was my first time attending that conference, and it was a really well-attended event. Everybody is so eager to be back face-to-face, and, you know, I made a lot of new connections related to the application of drones and aircraft, for example, in monitoring what's going on with solar assets. And then meeting these large companies that do nothing but asset management and operations and maintenance, whether they're an IPP or just a O&M company. Let's geek out a little bit on what were the highlights for you and your participants at SAMNA Oakland.
Yeah, to give a bit of a background, we do the SAMNA event, you know, Sol Asset Management North America, every year around April. And then we switch cities in California. So that event will stay in California. To answer your first question, have we chosen the dates for 2023? Not yet. We know it'll be in California in April as well. We're just debating, you know, will we stay in Oakland? Will we go to San Diego? And we're looking also like, you know, where new solar companies are emerging. And then we will try to, you know, go somewhere there. So for a bit of background, we've done it in San Francisco in previous editions. This time in Oakland, I think it was quite a unique experience as well. So we'll see what the new date is. But again, in solarplaza.com, you can find that information as soon as it's available. All I can say is that it'll be in California in April 2023. That's for sure. Now, to geek out about the conference, of course, I think you already alluded to a very interesting aspect of our conference, is that it combines, you know, these like techie O&M people that fly drones with the financial suits, you know, that are there doing the tax credit management. And it's very fun to have them in the same room, and particularly in the same session, right? It's always fun to have, you know, a hardcore numbers engineer guy next to a hardcore finance numbers guy with an IPP in the middle. And you have to, you know, kind of figure out, you know, how can we continue to make solar, you know, more efficient, more profitable, more mainstream for everyone. When it comes to highlights, I think that's very, you know, person dependent. As the organizer, I'll be a bit biased towards some things. You know, we obviously, what I always enjoy is definitely the drone topics or the monitoring topics, just understanding how we can leverage computers to be more efficient. I think that's just something I enjoy, and that, you know, that extends beyond solar. It can apply to life in many ways. But in one of the highlights, I think that it's what we always try to include a couple of new topics that are related to solar, but in a different way, right? I mean, solar is hailed as the industry of the future, the energy of the future. It's supposed to be as equal and equitative as possible. So in this edition of Solar Asset Management North America, we actually had a panel, a very interesting discussion on diversity, equity, and inclusion, and how, you know, the importance of understanding that, you know, we're going to need more and more solar professionals. And those will come from all sorts of backgrounds, all sorts of walks of life, all sorts of communities, you know, underrepresented, overrepresented, everywhere in the middle. And it was a very interesting conversation. You know, it was an open conversation about, you know, how can we be better as an industry? You know, we hold the flag of solar is kind of a beacon of hope, you know, in a world that at times seems a bit dramatic. And it's how, you know, how can we follow that up with actionable results on who to hire, who to train, how to train them, you know, how to just broaden your horizons. I thought that was a very interesting panel because it really relates to what solar is all about, which is, you know, energy for everyone. You know, as long as the sun shines, and with today's technology, you don't even need, you know, a very bright sun. You just need some sunlight. That's enough to create energy. And that should be kind of the approach people take towards hiring in the solar space as well. But aside from that, I think repowering is always a fun topic for us to discuss. You know, if you're asking me personally what I enjoy, I enjoy the more technical engineering topics and the concept of, you know, after 10 years, your plant, you could consider changing a couple of components to make it way more efficient just because of the technology increases in the year and throughout the years. I think that's always an interesting topic. But yeah, I'm sure there's many more, and there will hopefully be new ones as well every year. I'm curious to hear from your side as well, Tim. What topic did you enjoy? You know, what session did you sit on?
You did a day zero event at Nextracker's headquarters in Fremont that was focused on diversity and inclusion, and wonderful to get to visit, you know, such a famous company in the industry, the world's largest single axis tracker manufacturer. That was amazing. And in a very important topic for our industry, right? Our industry is very white, very male. And there's so many leaders who are dedicated to improving diversity and inclusion. And so our industry is reflective of many technology industries globally, I would say. And so we just have to, you know, keep at it and shine a light on this topic and be explicit about our goals to bring more women and people of color into the industry. I think that it's vital that people get that kind of boots on the ground, hands-on experience with operating facilities. And so wherever you end up going, I mean, I'm biased to San Diego myself. I lived there for 10 years. I love San Diego. It's a very reasonable sized city. It's very manageable. Their convention center being right downtown, right on the water, It's just beautiful. The weather is typically, you know, in the 70s in the spring. And then you have easy access to some operating facilities. Whether they're small or large, it doesn't really matter. A ground mount facility, of course. I would recommend doing some kind of a tour, though, where you have an O&M company and maybe a construction company and maybe an asset manager kind of doing a panel discussion of their different perspectives. And that's what stands out for me, Alfonso, is that we all have our perspective. You know, now I'm on the development side of things, and you just inevitably have your worldview. It was always amazing to me when I worked for an EPC, how there's this downward pressure on EPC pricing, on construction costs, value engineering. And that's a double edge, because if you over engineer, if you go too cheap, so to speak, you're going to end up with a product that's not going to be robust and resilient and reliable for 30 years. But so for me, you know, I got to moderate a panel with, you know, some very established asset management and O&M companies, Clenera, Aravon, and Origis Services. Those were all new names for me. So right there, learned a ton. And that topic was the true cost of O&M asset management. You know, we're all facing these supply chain issues right now in our industry, from materials to labor. And those were major hot topics and themes, I guess, I saw recurring. Then just also really enjoyed meeting some experts on, for example, inverters and how there are new tools and technologies for monitoring inverter health and predictive analytics, you know, that will tell you when an asset is going to fail so that you can proactively replace or repair the technology and not have an outage. Everybody wants to control their losses, right, and reduce their risk. And then a shout out to Dan Leary. He was really the reason that I learned about SAMHNA. He has a company called DinoWatts that makes a performance monitoring and analytics platform. And the theme there is, you know, leveraging software, AI, and business intelligence for really getting the most value out of your assets. So check out DinoWatts. You know, it was a whirlwind. I will say that being in Oakland was wonderful. I had lived in the Bay Area before. I lived in Sunnyvale in the South Bay near San Jose in Silicon Valley, but had not spent a lot of time in Oakland. And Oakland is really experiencing a resurgence and was very vibrant. So that was fresh. So great location. And I could, you know, I would have no qualms going back to Oakland. I'm just biased that I think San Diego would be a wonderful location, but there are many. California is a big place. Fifth largest economy in the world. It's amazing that California, we should highlight, just recently experienced 100% clean renewable energy on their grid. And so if you can do it in California, I would argue you can do it anywhere. Yeah, the weather is sunnier there, but it's such a massive economy. And that just shows the power of solar, wind, and battery storage, Alfonso. I recently said on a roundtable discussion that we host with TigerCom every quarter with a bunch of other clean tech podcasters that, you know, solar, wind, and storage are the fastest growing new sources of energy on the grid, not because humanity cares so much about sustainability, but because they are the cheapest sources of power. And so that is, you know, economics drives the world. And that's what we see happening in Texas. I think that there was a time when oil was king, and now wind and solar and batteries, you know, there's as much storage in the queue in ERCOT as there are solar projects. So batteries are becoming a big part of the grid in ERCOT now too. So Alfonso, in our last few minutes together, what else should we let our listeners know? You know, my listeners are energy professionals, developers, asset managers, and aspiring energy professionals. I always love to highlight the fact that we need many, many more people to come into the clean energy industries, and you have pure growth for the next 30 years, right? So what do you say to people who are new, perhaps, to Solar Plaza and asset management? What will you know, potentially grab their ear and make them think twice about coming to your conference in Texas, October 25th.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so great question. And I think it relates a bit to what you mentioned. You know, it's the energy of the future. Sure, yeah, we can argue that we're doing it because it's green or because it's just financially the best option at the moment, which is also, you know, it's actually a great point in history when renewables become cheaper than traditional energy sources. But what I would highlight to, you know, to anyone, first, like for new professionals or people trying to get into solar, I think, you know, we offer a ton of resources either via interviews, you know, webinars, shorter, what do you call them? Short 7-minute trend talks, we call them. They're like small interviews with different market experts or just reports. And, you know, just check out solarplaza.com and see if there's resources that you're interested in. And then based on those resources, you can kind of make decisions on what part of solar you're more interested in, right? Are you more interested in the tech part, the finance part, development, etc.? And then for the Texas conference itself, yeah, any professional that wants to do business in solar business in Texas, I encourage them to join. You know, we really try to get the whole value chain from who's originally going to finance it to who's going to be the off-taker, you know, whether it be Meta, now Tesla opening a gigafactory in Texas. It seems like a really cool off-taker to have at an event, for example.
The conference is going to be in Austin, Texas, right? So if you haven't been to Austin recently, Austin is on fire. It's the new Silicon Valley in the United States. Tesla, of course, just opened a major manufacturing plant there. I got to visit the plant back in February, just from the outside when it was still under construction. So yeah, Austin is going to be an awesome place to host an event. It's also a college town, a great city for music and live entertainment. So I think that's a good choice.
Great weather, great food. The list goes on. I mean, I'm a big fan of Austin, so I'm also, you know, selfishly excited to go there, you know, for work. It's really nice. But yeah, any professional interested in solar, either you want to learn from a specific topic or you already feel like you're an expert in, and you want to focus more on networking and meeting a couple of new companies that you don't know. Like really what we take pride in and what we enjoy here at Solar Plaza is connecting companies that maybe don't realize that they're already relevant to each other. You know, and, you know, why should the EPC really understand, you know, tax credits in the long run? Well, because after 10 years, those tax credits could actually help you build a case for repowering. So actually the EPC does want to understand them so that they can be part of the repowering case years down the road. You know, this is, I mean, maybe not the best example, but it's the example I could think of at the top of my head. The idea is that every solar professional has something to learn from each other, and the operational phase being the longest phase. You know, if you can imagine, development, just to keep it simple, development is 1 year, construction is 1 year, the operational phase is hopefully going to be 20, maybe 40 years. And, you know, there's a huge chunk of information here and a lot of different players from all parts of solar, even outside solar. You know, we look into environmental impact assessments and, you know, carbon inventories, etc. It requires all sorts of scientists or financiers to join. And our events are one of those that we try to combine as many relevant players as possible.
Excellent. Check out solarplaza.com, and you can find all of our content here at the Clean Power Hour at cleanpower.group/podcast. Please give us a rating and a review on Apple or Spotify. That helps others find this content. We have a great YouTube channel. Just click on the YouTube icon there at cleanpower.group, anywhere on that website, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. I want to thank Alfonso Berenechea for coming on the show today. Looking forward to SAMNA Texas, October 25th, 2022 in Austin. I'm Tim Montague. Let's grow solar and storage. Thank you, Alfonso.
Thanks, Tim. It was a blast.
The Clean Power Hour is brought to you by CPS America, the maker of North America's number one three-phase string inverter, with over 6 gigawatts shipped in the U.S. The CPS America product lineup includes three-phase string inverters ranging from 25 to 275 kW. Their flagship inverter, the CPS250-275, is designed to work with solar plants ranging from 2 megawatts to 2 gigawatts. The 250-275 pairs well with CPS America's exceptional data communication, controls, and energy storage solutions. Go to chintpowersystems.com to find out more.